Welcome back to the second hour of the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere in the nation on that free Odyssey app. It is 409, 64 degrees on this Monday, April 14th, 2025. And it's always good to bring on my good friend, Mayor John David Longo of Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Mayor, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show.
Rob, thanks so much for having me back on. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
So just to give a little background, you were at both Butler PA rallies. You were at the one where President Trump, or then candidate Trump, was attempted assassination took place. And you were there when he went back to say, hey, you know, I'm not turning my back on the people of Western Pennsylvania. I'm not turning my back on America. I'm here. I'm going to stand strong and I'm going to be back. So you were there for that as well. Got to meet the president. It was a great event. And then we have what just happened in Harrisburg with our governor. And I know both you and I have already posted, you know, what kind of abhorrent act this was, regardless of the motive. Anybody taking this political violence out on any elected official is not to be tolerated. And then we have this issue in Wisconsin where you have this individual kill his parents to raise money to try to kill the president and overthrow the government. But there was something out your way that's kind of flown under the radar. And, you know, I want you to highlight that because this is happening more and more based on this political rhetoric where people are, they're making excuses to act violently. I mean, we've had Rutgers University studies, polls that showed that a large portion think it's okay to assassinate the president or okay to assassinate Elon Musk simply because they don't like them.
Yeah, well, Rob, let me just start by saying before I say anything else that I just want to reiterate and echo your sentiments and mine that we're glad that the governor and his family here in Pennsylvania were not harmed. And we, in every way imaginable, want to push back against any thought that it is okay or appropriate ever to use political violence as a means of getting your way in the political arena. So, again, just want to reiterate that. Now, on to Butler County. You know, I'm the mayor of Slippery Rock here in Butler County, Pennsylvania. I did have the honor of opening up the president's rally on July 13th and spending time with him minutes before the maniac there shot down, rained down bullets on him and on the crowd, those of us who were nearest him. And I was also honored to be the master of ceremonies at his October 5th return to Butler County. So the fact that here in Butler County, again, in Butler Township, 4.8 miles away from the Butler Farm Show where the rallies took place, that a registered Democrat would be picked up, by the way, who was named Mr. Satan by himself on his own YouTube page for making threats against not just the president of the United States, but also so too against other U.S. officials and ICE agents, was bragging about stockpiling guns and ammunition so that he could do this violence, is just abhorrent to me. As somebody who has witnessed with their family, has witnessed and endured political violence and political assaults and intimidation, harassment, I am just so sad to see that it's come to this. And I wish that we had an answer for what the underlying reasons were for it, Rob. But time and again, I just keep coming to this idea that by and large, it's my opinion that folks on the left, especially in the media, have made it almost feel okay for a lot of folks to think that it's okay to act in this way. And again, we completely push back against that idea.
Yeah, a story, you know, after yours is this I can't even call her a journalist. This person that worked for the New York Times was fired, worked for the Washington Post was fired, and did an interview on CNN glorifying Luigi Mangione, the individual who hunted and assassinated a healthcare CEO, as a morally good man. That was the word she used. It's just the society in glorifying, as long as they can justify the target or who they believe the target should be, justifying actual violence. And we need to do what we can to get away from this. And we're just seeing it far too often. But this individual out by you, this Sean Monper, who otherwise went by the name as Mr. Satan, mainstream media really did not give this a lot of publicity to let people know that this is still going on. There are still threats to the president. There are still unanswered questions to the two assassination attempts that he did have.
Sure. And you know, I hate to say this, Rob, and by no means am I saying that this is the case. But unfortunately, when the media got a hold of this unfortunate attack on the governor's residence in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, it took a lot of attention away from the fact that this Mr. Satan, this psycho here in my backyard in Butler County, was seemingly preparing for an attack on our president or on his administrative officials. And you're absolutely right. We're not getting the attention there. But that's why it's so important that folks like you, Rob, and I are keeping this fresh on the memories of individuals and taking it a step further, not just highlighting what Sean Monper just did, but taking it back to making sure that the American public does not forget about what occurred here in Butler County on July 13th, what occurred in Mar-a-Lago when the president's life was put in jeopardy again by a would-be assassin. And we need to keep talking about these things because the American public, President Trump, Corey Comprator's family, and everybody who's endured and witnessed this political violence deserve answers.
Now, this recent arrest out there by this individual, it looks like acting U.S. Attorney Troy Rivetti has charged this individual. How has the community there, your local community, your hometown, dealt with this after dealing with the attempted assassination of a president? That, listen, I know we've discussed this, but if for any reason that would have turned out different in July, we would be living in a different world right now. But your community is still recovering from that. There are still family members of the individuals like Corey who were killed during this event that are still grasping, you know, that. And then to have this happen right in their backyards again, you know, how's your community doing?
Sadly, Rob, we are still healing as a community. And you're absolutely right. There were a ton of people there and no one more than Corey Comprator's family who are still trying to get out of the tragedy and the horror of that day, the loss of that day. And just real quickly, I'll just tell you, you know, my sister, my little sister, 10 years younger than me, I brought her to that rally with me that day. And after that, she said, this must have been what you felt like when you were in Afghanistan fighting. And to hear her say those words, I realized that the effects of that day were going to reverberate well past just President Trump nearly passing away or Corey Comprator nearly passing away. We have thousands, tens of thousands of people, millions actually across the world who were affected by this in a negative way. So what just happened with Sean Monper's threats and his plans to assassinate the president and his agents and officials is sadly just icing on the cake for a community like ours that's still reeling from what happened in July 13th. And so we're trying our best to get out from the ugliness of that day. But what's really sad, Rob, is that in the last few weeks, we have seen angry, I don't know how else I could describe them, but angry mobs of Democrats coming out en masse to stage protests that, quite honestly, I think are very inappropriate. Look, I'm all for protecting freedom of speech. I'm a veteran. I swore an oath to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution, and I appreciate political discourse, but the messaging that I'm seeing on the signs held by these people, the things that they are yelling at drivers and motorists passing by, to include, I'm told, Allison Comprator, who was the subject of some really awful commentary from some of these protesters, virtually celebrating the death of her father, is so disgusting. And it's something that we're dealing with here in Butler County. And I think we're all looking for a way in which we can not just combat it, right, but to put an end to it and see if we can't find some humanity in one another so that we can get back to the business of having political discourse with respect to one another as not just human beings, but as fellow Americans, and that we all want what's best for our communities.
And I'm glad you brought up, you know, your effect by being there during this time where the attempted assassination took place and how that affected you personally. I mean, we both know and are good friends with Sean Parnell, who's now serving alongside our Secretary of Defense, because, you know, it gave him a drive to serve again, to bring this nation together, to defend this nation against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. So, you know, I appreciate you for all you've done in serving in our military and serving as the mayor of Slippery Rock.
Thank you, Rob. And let me say, too, that, you know, I'm lucky to be able to be in lockstep with individuals like Sean, who sat next to my wife and I that day, who helped me to attend to some folks who were wounded. You know, we helped some folks there in that time. And let me say, too, that, you know, working with Sean in that capacity and all Americans and neighbors who were there that day, just to see us come together in that moment where typically you would expect people to look for reasons to do harm to one another. We found each other's humanity in that moment. And so it's my hope that we can use that experience to translate into the broader community here so that we can really start to heal and pull this country together and get back to serving one another.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you came on today to highlight this, because I'm getting text messages from here in Northeast Pennsylvania saying it's actually the first time they're hearing about this Mr. Satan guy. So, you know, I'm glad we're getting the word out. Let's share more on the news reports from that area on this arrest and what's going on with it, and so people can follow it, that it's going on. Now, on that note of rebuilding and bringing this nation back together, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania, you still got one of the biggest flags out there flying at one of your parks?
That's right. We have the largest and highest flying American flag flying above our community in 130 square miles of Slippery Rock. So we're very proud of that. And I do believe that that's one of those things that we can use to really pull a community together and help to foster a sense of not just hometown pride, but national pride and recognizing one another as fellow Americans.
Well, maybe it's time now that the weather's Pennsylvania weather is kind of subsiding a little bit. Well, it's at least throwing it out like lotto numbers now, 62, 13, 24, 73. Maybe it's time for an event there. You know, I'll come out and on the weekend and we'll do something to bring the community together. And we don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, independent, you know, we're all American. And maybe it's time we all stand under that flag and remember that.
That's a great idea, Rob, and I would love to partner with you on something like that. It would be a beautiful testament to the camaraderie and the friendship that we do share, the respect that we do share as fellow Americans together. So thank you for that suggestion.
All right. And again, we're speaking to Mayor John David Longo, Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania mayor, a Marine, someone who's served our nation on more than one occasion and continues to serve the people of Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Mayor Longo, thanks for joining the Rob O'Donnell Show today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
All right. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. And what I was talking about with the mayor here is this Taylor Lorenz. Now, Taylor Lorenz is in her 40s, and she thinks she's a 20-something social media sensation. She worked for the New York Times. She worked for the Washington Post. She's been fired by both. Basically looking for publicity. And I guess we're giving it to her. But she says such abhorrent things that it's pretty dumb. And the mere fact a CNN idiot stood there and giggled the whole time she was saying these things is even more crazy. She was talking about Luigi Mangione, who was the individual who hunted down and executed the United Healthcare CEO in Midtown Manhattan. And I'm looking for her statement here. She basically said that he was a very moral. Here's her quote. "You're going to see women, especially that feel like, oh my God, here's this man who is a revolutionary, who's famous, who's handsome, who's young, who's smart. He's a person that seems like this morally good man, which is hard to find," Lorenz said, as she and CNN correspondent Donnie O'Sullivan laughed about the conversation. This is part of the problem we're facing. This is creating. She has justified to idolize, not only idolize, but find someone sexy and desirable who just happens to be a cold-blooded killer. She's justified in her mind that because she probably doesn't like the person he killed, she probably agrees that that person is bad because of the things he's done to our healthcare system, that he's a have and not a have-not. She's justified that she'll overlook the fact that this guy is a cold-blooded executioner who hunted down a husband and father in Midtown Manhattan and executed him. She thinks he's revolutionary, famous, handsome, young, smart, and a morally good man, which is hard to find. Well, it's hard to find because you're looking through the prism, the psychotic prism that you've garnered. Now, this influencer who used to be a journalist, again, she's been fired from every normal job she's had in journalism. You know, she's been brought herself in negative spotlight before, and I guess she doesn't know how to deal with that. And then she says she's being bullied and picked on, probably for the fact that she's 40-something, 46, I believe, and acts like she's 22. But she's literally giddy over this homicidal suspect who's on trial for executing, you know, a husband and father. And I don't care if you don't like the healthcare system. I mean, who does like the healthcare system? Doesn't mean you go out. You know, there's a lot of things I don't like. You don't go out and hunt people down and execute them. So this is part of the problem we're seeing, where this individual in Harrisburg, you know, had an anger, targeted the governor for whatever reason. Seemed to not like a lot of people. But enough to where he was going to take gasoline out of his lawnmower, fill up homemade Molotov cocktails, go there, scale the fence, break a window, set the room on fire. And this wasn't a small fire. I posted a picture of the room where this fire was. This entire room, which was a very large room, was destroyed by fire. So much so, the fire chief for the Harrisburg Fire Department said that this individual should be sent to that El Salvadorian prison. That's a statement that came out today. So that should go over like a fart in church in Harrisburg. But, I mean, here we have someone that's being interviewed in primetime on CNN who has previously worked for the New York Times, the Washington Post, glorifying a homicidal maniac as a good person, a revolutionary, a morally good man. We've become a warped society. And again, this Rutgers poll, this study that was done, where half of those surveyed said that it would be acceptable to assassinate the president of the United States. Listen, I have a lot of problems with politicians, locally and nationally. I never want to see harm come to them, not even a little bit. How that transfers to, I'm going to justify not only physical harm or hate, but actual follow through it. And we're seeing that time and time again. Thankfully, this story out in Butler with this Mr. Satan guy who wanted to kill ICE agents, the president, and a whole bunch of other people, you know, was brought in custody before anything happened. If this guy in Harrisburg didn't just have a hammer, you know, he said if he came across the governor, he was going to hit him with a hammer. I mean, that's the same thing that happened to Pelosi's husband. You know, is that a thing in these underground chats that these crazies talk about? Who knows? It was interesting that was the method. Maybe he justified the idea, seeing it there. But we're seeing time and time again where people are thinking it's okay. But if this guy was a little more prepared, this could have been very tragic. And again, I don't agree with a lot of the governor's, matter of fact, I don't agree with most of the governor's politics. But I never want to see something happen to him, especially his family, children. That's just something that we, you know, the whole thing we have to draw a line with. Political violence is never targeting a politician and their family is never acceptable. We need to drill that in as much as possible. Unfortunately, obviously, because of stories like this, where CNN would actually air this. You think someone, an editor or someone at CNN would listen to this interview and go, yeah, no, this is not happening. But it does. And they air it. Unbelievable. And then someone like me has to talk about it and give you the other side of how crazy this is. It's 4:32 here at WILK. Time for the news with Paul Michaels. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. It's the point of the show where we honor our heroes here at home who made the ultimate sacrifice. On this day, we have one. Sergeant Michael S. Lingham, Philadelphia Police Department, 1974. He succumbed to a gunshot wound a month earlier by a suspect while attempting to serve a search warrant during a drug raid. Sergeant Lingham was shot in the head while he and another officer entered an apartment in the 1600 block of South 20th Street. The 23-year-old subject was wounded by other officers in an exchange of gunfire. Sergeant was rushed to a graduate hospital where he remained in a coma to his death. The suspect was out on bail for an attempted murder. A year earlier, he threatened another officer with a shotgun. He was convicted of second-degree murder and narcotics possession in connection with the sergeant's death, sentenced to 17 to 35 years in prison. The sergeant served with the Philadelphia Police Department for 11 years. And our thoughts, as always, go out to our protectors out there, our law enforcement, our first responders, our EMTs, our nurses, our firemen, both volunteered and paid, that do the job each and every day. Run towards danger. At the simple 911 call or a call over the radio. Never to be understated. Let me go to the phone now. We have Lorraine from Hazleton. Hey, Lorraine, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
All right.
Listen, I just have a comment, an opinion about Governor Shapiro. When I had first seen him come on for a news conference, and he went right to the point of being Jewish, you know, the fact or that he was celebrating Passover with his family and this and that, I thought, why elude right? Why should that be the primary factor? That's my opinion. When there could be so many other things going on. I mean, you know, look at the Catholics and Christians with Palm Sunday and Lent and Easter coming up. I mean, bad things happen to them. But, like, he zoned right in on that, like he was looking for it to be the problem. Like I said, I don't mean in a nasty way. I just found it kind of strange that was the primary factor.
Well, when that happened, we did not know the motive at that point. And to be honest with you, Lorraine, it was one of the first things that came to my mind. And it was just based off the timing, the fact that it happened that night after his Seder dinner on Passover. Especially he was put in the spotlight and probably did not get the vice president run because there was a faction of the Democrat Party that did not think having an Israeli-American, a Jewish-American on that ticket was beneficial to them. And I think it turned out to hurt them more than anything. But it was one of the first things that came to my mind. But again, now that we know who the suspect is, we've looked into it, we have some statements, and I've been able to go through his social media, I can see nothing that leads me to believe that his religion or his heritage had anything to do with this attack.
Well, my opinion was at first, no, you know, that was my opinion. It kind of like, I felt like the discussion we had once before, maybe it has nothing to do with it, though, like when people are elected for this or for that, you know, they're the first white person, they're the first black person, Hispanic, so on and so forth. But, I mean, as far as it could have been just a coincidence, and, I mean, you know the logistics of it maybe more than I do, but in the long run, I guess my intuition was correct. But not that I'm looking for a reward because you got yours on Friday and I didn't.
Yeah, but it definitely was the first thing that came to my mind. And again, just because of the timing of it. And it's definitely something, like I said, it's of investigative value because it's something that really needs to be looked at because there would have been additional charges. But I think at this time, they've kind of steered away from it. It doesn't change the fact, just like if, you know, I was targeted on Christmas, it would still be the fact that it was Christmas would be a factor. Now, it doesn't mean because I'm Christian. It doesn't mean because it was Christian in Jesus' birthday.
But,
it would still be a factor. So, you know, I don't blame that, especially that early on, because it was one of the first things that came to my mind as a possible motive. It turned out that it doesn't appear that.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I just said I'd call and air my opinion, even though that's not the name of the show.
No, no worries. We take everybody's opinion here, Lorraine. Lorraine, thanks for checking in today. I got to get the traffic and weather.
Okay, you do that.
Thank you. It's welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. Time for today in history, because how do we know where we're going unless we remember where we've been? There's a bunch today, so and some recent, some text message I'm going to filter into today as well. Let me see. 1865, assassination of President Abraham Lincoln on this day. On the evening of April 14th, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln was shot by John Wilkes Booth while attending a play at Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C. Lincoln succumbed to his injuries. the following morning, making the first assassination of a U.S. president and profoundly affecting the nation's post-Civil War trajectory. 1912, RMS Titanic strikes an iceberg. Late on April 14, 1912, the RMS Titanic collided with an iceberg during its maiden voyage. The ship sank in the early hours of April 15th, resulting in the deaths of over 1,500 passengers and crew. This tragedy remains one of the deadliest commercial peacetime maritime disasters. 1935, Black Sunday dust storm. April 14th, 1935, a massive dust storm known as Black Sunday swept across the U.S. Midwest, particularly devastating the Great Plains. The storm displaced an estimated 300 million tons of topsoil, leading to severe agricultural damage and contributing to the hardships of the Dust Bowl era. Some baseball milestones. 1910, President William Howard Taft initiated the tradition of throwing the ceremonial first pitch at a baseball game. April 14, 1955, Elston Howard became the first African-American player to join the New York Yankees, breaking the team's color barrier. And in 1969, the Montreal Expos hosted Major League Baseball's first regular season game outside the U.S., defeating the St. Louis Cardinals. Let me see some other historical events. We have 1828. Noah Webster published the first edition of his American Dictionary of the English Language, standardizing American English spelling and usage. 1828, huh? On April 14, 1981, the Space Shuttle Columbia completed its first successful test flight, marking a new era in reusable spacecraft technology. So those are some of the, given the convergence of these significant events, April 14th has been referred to by some as Reunion Day, symbolizing the day of notable tragedies and turning points in history. So that's some of today. I got some text messages asking me if I was going to acknowledge the first female group of astronauts to go into space. And I was going to mention it, but Gail King, who was one of those on that flight, when she came back, used the opportunity to basically chastise America, saying, after being in space, I realized that America needs to do better. We need to do better as a people. Thinking, I guess, it would come across as some, you know, epiphany and notable quote, which kind of fell flat. So you just go, you're privileged to get to space because you have the money to do it. And you're going to chastise us, the little people who didn't get to go. And quite honestly, you didn't go to space and you're not astronauts. So listen, this was a great PR move, and that's exactly what it was. It was a PR move. The guy sent his girlfriend, Katy Perry. What is she, a singer, actress, whatever she is, Gail King. You know, it was a momentous time of having a group of women travel, but they did not go to space, and they are not astronauts. They only traveled to the upper atmosphere. The Blue Origin New Shepard rocket did not travel into space. It only traveled to the upper atmosphere just above the Kármán line. That's approximately 62 miles above the surface of Earth. It's often considered the boundary to space, but it's not space. The flight lasted about 11 minutes, with the crew experience a few moments of weightlessness when it started to return, like anything else would, sort of like when you go up in the air and it starts to come back down, you feel weightlessness. And they were able to view Earth before returning. Type of suborbital flight does not enter orbit or deep space, unlike missions that go into space. So, yes, was it a fun thing to do? Was it a notable thing? Sure. But they're not astronauts and they did not go to space. So it's a little facts of the matter. And it's simply because, you know, Gail King kind of wanted to chastise after she felt empowered. Now, Katy Perry, I'll give her a little kudos. When she landed and got out of the rocket, she reached down on the ground and kissed the ground. Just goes to show you that you should be thankful where we are. But, you know, some in the media are spinning this as they're astronauts now, and they went into space. Well, they're not neither, and they didn't either. But I'm sure it was a hell of a ride. It's 4:54 here at WILK. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio. People are asking, what exactly did Gail King say? So I'll play it to you. I'll play it for you.
To me, it's such a reminder about how we need to do better, be better. Do better, be better, human beings.
And what do you mean by that?
Processing. Well, it's so nasty and so vitriolic nowadays. And I mean, if everybody could experience that peace that we had up there and the kindness and what it takes to do what we did, all the people that it took to get us up there and get us back safely, I'll never, ever, ever forget.
So, yeah, I mean, her thing was to tell everybody, to lecture everybody to be better. And, you know, I do appreciate her thanking all the little people who got her up, got them up there and back safely. That's where the should be come from. But yeah, they are making a big deal about it. So it's interesting. And even some text messages going that they are definitely not astronauts. No, they were tourists. They were tourists that didn't go to space. They were high upper atmosphere tourists. So that was the thing that went up there. I did see this story. Declassified. This is declassified CIA files from Cold War era detailed a report that the Soviets had a clash with aliens who witnesses say turned them to stone. Now, take this for what it's worth. A declassified Cold War era file from the CIA has gone viral, where Soviet soldiers and a UFO reportedly turned the troops to stone before blasting off. Said they turned them to lime. Following the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1991, the CIA acquired a 250-page KGB report recounting the events that transpired after a platoon fired at a flying saucer over Ukraine. It included eyewitness accounts, pictures of the aftermath, which one American agent described as a horrific picture of revenge on the part of the extraterrestrial creatures. Picture that makes one's blood freeze. Report claims Soviets conducting training exercise in Ukraine spotted a low-flying spaceship soaring above their heads, and they fired on it, brought it down. It fell to Earth not far away. Five short humanoids with large heads and large black eyes emerged, the report claims, after escaping the debris of their ruined ship. The beings huddled together and merged into a single object that acquired a spherical shape. In a few seconds, the spheres grew much bigger and exploded by flaring up with extremely bright light. The very instant, 23 soldiers who had watched the phenomenon turned to stone. Again, take it with a grain of salt. It's a Soviet-era KGB declassified information, but it is what it is. It's 5 o'clock here at WILK. We'll be back.